now, from approximately coast to coast, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Yes, it does. This is the Bob and Ray Show, as that nice announcer said. Me. And we'll be here for...
Who are you?
I'm the tall, good-looking one.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the Bob and Ray Show, as we said.
Unfortunately, Flaming Bombadine can't be here today. I just had a wire from him.
From the missus or from Flaming himself?
From Flaming himself, and he was going to be on last Monday and couldn't make it, and he's not going to be able to make it today.
Well, this is something that will happen to us from time to time. We hope you'll bear with us that when we promise to have a guest here and he doesn't show up, that there's always usually a good reason.
Look, the best plans often go all to pieces.
Go awry, as they say.
That happens here quite frequently. You got that tape you made last night?
Yes, I have. So why don't we set that up and put on the tape that I made last night, will you? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Hi, everybody. This is Ray Goulding. I'm at the home of Mr. Leo Kahn here in Naugatuck, Connecticut. And I understand, Mr. Kahn, that you were the 1 millionth customer to walk through the linoleum department at Rumsey's Department Store.
That's right.
Congratulations on your feat.
You're in the market for any linoleum?
No. Did you have any inkling that you were going to be the 1 millionth customer in that particular department?
None at all. I was totally unprepared for the unprovoked and savage attack on my person by the heads of the linoleum department.
And, of course, when you were besieged, you had no idea that you were the 1 millionth customer, is that right?
Well, actually, I wasn't even a customer. I was heading for the housewares department to buy a bolt for the kitchen door. The automatic ice maker in the refrigerator sometimes runs wild, and we need the protection.
Apparently, you never reached the housewares department.
That's right. I was set upon, and the first thing I know, I had a linoleum scroll pressed into my hand. It was really bedlam at the store there.
And would you tell our listeners what you told me about one of the linoleum officials at the store?
Well, there were several...
Not so loud.
There were several linoleum officials around. Which one are you talking about?
Well, the gentleman who jammed the cash register so that it kept ringing.
The cash register did keep ringing. It was a real festive occasion. And another elderly linoleum official pulled a string and a lot of linoleum fell from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Some of it fell on the multicolored rotating chandelier and destroyed it.
But I don't imagine that slowed up the celebration.
Not much. There was a mild scuffle when a clerk from the mosaic department rushed in to collect the bits of colored glass on the floor.
Real fine for him. I imagine that you were the recipient, then, of many gifts of linoleum matters.
Yes, I was. After the revelry at the store, I was followed home right here to buy a pack of linoleum mechanics, or whatever you call them.
Installers, I think.
Well, anyway, I was getting linoleum whether I wanted it or not, it turned out.
Well, you know, I think it was rather a nice gesture on the part of Rumsey's department store, and I notice as I look about your room here that the floors, the ceilings even, the walls...
Everything is linoleum.
They've even covered your sofa and your easy chair with linoleum.
The bathtub is lined with linoleum.
Well, is that so? This is truly amazing. I would say that you must have $1 million worth of linoleum here in the house.
No, all it cost was $1,400 worth of the shiny stuff.
But I thought you got all that stuff free for being the 1 millionth customer.
No, you see, I find out what this is a part of some unique plan to drum up business for Rumsey's linoleum department.
Well, now, if you still have your sales slip, I suppose you can return this stuff. I mean,
I'm afraid to go back there again. You know, when party crowds turn hostile like that, I wouldn't want to go back.
Well, gee, this is rather a sad ending to what I thought would be a happy interview.
I know is I got a lot of linoleum.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, sir. It's been nice talking to you. Mr., what was it, Leo Kahn?
That's right.
Good. Now back to our show in New York.
Now it's time for the further adventures of Charlie Chu, famed Oriental sleuth and his annoying number one boy. Stay with us as Charlie and company relax at the Waldecker Hotel.
Hey, T-Pop, sure is a dull day.
Number one boy, dull too. One can learn many things from hotel room. Observe writing on back of door.
All right, Pop. Now it says checkout time is 2 p.m. Guest staying after that hour will be charged for an extra day. But T-Pop, so what?
Number one son, right mule. Run only when kicked.
What else sign say?
Well, it gives the daily rate.
Just what is daily rate, number one boy?
85 cents for a double room. Pop.
And number one boy learned nothing from that?
Well, it's a cheap hotel room, Pop.
Number one boy think as quickly as frozen food melt in steam cabinet. Perhaps faster. Now, we must find out why former occupant of room, Albert Fortescue, stay here. And not the class hotel which befits men who run Raj Cough Drop Factory.
Ah, gee, Pop, I didn't know we were on a case at all.
Observe overhead fan, number one boy.
Gosh, Pop, it's whirling around and the cleaning woman seems to be stuck on one of the blades. Hey, Pop, this certainly does look like a case. Do you think Albert Fortescue murdered her?
No, I think cleaning woman just got stuck on fan while cleaning. And her unfortunate demise come about when she is subjected to about 12G ride.
But you haven't figured out what Albert Fortescue is doing in this room, Pop. You can't ask him because he's disappeared.
Disappearance write kite in sky. It flits behind cloud, but still there. Fortescue is in room.
Gosh, Pop, where could he hide around here?
If number one son put coin in slot of television set, kite reappear from behind cloud.
You mean there's a kite and a cloud in that TV set, Pop?
No kite, no cloud. Albert Fortescue. Put coin in slot and see.
Okay, Pop. Ow! Ow!
Television 2 burned Mr. Fortescue. He react.
Gosh, Pop, how did you know he was in there?
Number one son, as TJ says, run up Pike's Peak. Mr. Fortescue's face visible on screen for some time. Now I ask him questions. Why you stay in cheap hotel room when you can afford class hotel, Mr. Fortescue?
It's not easy, Q. Work it out for yourself.
You answer because if I turn up volume on set, Mr. Fortescue, you'll be uncomfortable as gypsy in auto wreck.
All right, Q, you win. The wastebasket in the room has a false bottom.
And inside false area is the Flockinger bird, perhaps.
That's about it, Q. $1 million Oriole made of platinum. How'd you know?
Because wastebasket weighs 70 pounds.
Gee, Pop, how'd you know it weighed 70 pounds?
Because all good detectives kick wastebasket when first come into hotel room. And if wastebasket not fall down, something in it. Fortescue know this too, correct, Mr. Fortescue?
Not dead, Joe.
Number one boy, please to turn up volume to teach Mr. Fortescue lesson.
Join us for the next episode of Charlie Chew real soon.
Haven't heard from him for an awfully long time. It's good to hear him back again.
Yes, it is. So, Bob, I have a note here. I think that I'd like to put on...
Wait a minute.
Come on, sir. What is this? We're on the air in here.
Well, what were you going to say about that?
Well, I was...
Just keep it down a little left, please.
Well, couldn't you wait till we're off the air, sir? We only have a few minutes left. Hmm?
Oh, he's found something.
Well, anyway, I can't think of this audience.
Well, do you have a note on it?
I had a note on something. Oh, that I wanted to remind everybody that if we have time today, we're going to go over some of the lost items that have been found in the studio. If not, we'll do it some later time.
Are you most through there? I didn't think they'd let a thing go on like that. Well, he's gone anyway.
Thanks. Well, that's good.
Let's get to faces in the news, then.
All right.
Hi, this is Turnley Gebhardt, your Faces in the News reporter, and we have a gentleman with us who had his face in the newspaper yesterday. Sir, may we have your name and occupation?
Well, my name is Martin Lavon, and I'm an optometrist and sole owner of Lavon's House of Lenses.
And Lavon's House of Lenses isn't what you'd call a large or a big business, is it?
No, it's a very small business. I don't even have the necessary 20 feet to hang an eye chart.
But you do have an eye chart, sir?
Yes, the people who read my eye chart have to stand out on the street and read it through the door, which I keep open.
And do you find this to be a satisfactory method?
Well, it isn't bad. Sometimes a policeman comes along and arrests a person for standing on the sidewalk mumbling with a hand clapped over one eye, but that's the exception rather than the rule.
And you've been waiting for that day, Mr. Lavon, when you can afford to rent more spacious quarters, a place
large enough to accommodate an eye chart.
That's right, Mr. Gebhardt.
But that's not going to happen for some time, because yesterday you were robbed of your life savings. Here's a picture of you in the newspaper, all tied up in front of your empty safe.
Well, that's me, all right. But the picture in the paper isn't the way it happened at all. Actually, I was out having lunch across the street at the time.
You say the pictorialization of the events is inaccurate, Mr. Levon?
Well, yeah, after I got back from lunch and found that I'd been robbed, I called the police first thing. Well, pretty soon they came over, and so did a gang of newspaper photographers.
And the photographers snapped your picture?
Well, not until they tied me up with a lot of rope and had me lie in front of the empty safe.
Well, pictures like that are always good for newspaper circulation, Mr. Levon. That's the paper game.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody was really hurt by it.
Well, I was. The photographers left then without bothering to undo the ropes or anything.
And with the door to your shop open, I imagine you attracted a lot of attention lying there in front of your safe, all bound up.
It started with the neighborhood kids. They came in and severed the strings on my depth reception machine and everything.
And, of course, you couldn't kick them out or anything like that, what with your being tied up and all.
Well, that's right. A little while after that, a very regal-looking gentleman came into the shop and made off with a pair of pince-nez frames I've been working on. The pince was a little loose.
You think that passerby might have stopped and would have been more sympathetic.
I didn't think so, wouldn't you? Anyway, before I got loose, my store had been sacked by people.
Incidentally, just how did you get loose, Mr. Levon?
Well, one of the looters dropped an eyeglass frame on the floor, Mr. Gebhardt, and I kept rubbing the ropes against it. Took a long time. Those eyeglass frames slide, you know, and
I certainly do know, Mr. Levon, and thank you for providing grist for the mill here on Faces in the News. Going to have time for any of those items today?
Yeah, maybe we do have some time.
These are all things that have been left in the studio in a bare 2 weeks that we've been on here at CBS.
Now, those of you who are here, maybe you've left them before, if any of you have been at the show before. Did anyone lose this? This is a Norden bomb site. Hold this up.
Hang on. Let me help you there. Anybody?
No. Not mine.
All right. Let's set it down on the table there.
Okay.
Here's a box of licorice cough drops. Those are yours, Mel? I'll toss them to you.
Yeah, I left them there a week ago Tuesday.
There they are. It's nice to get things back to their owners.
Oh, here's something. Here, we have a receipt. This is probably some civic official left this. A receipt for a fire truck. $15,850.
Anybody here buy a fire truck recently?
For a city or for a town or county?
No.
No, I guess not. And just one more. Here's a diploma from Columbia University.
Did anyone just graduate? Anyone lose their diploma?
They'll need that now as they go out into life.
Certainly, to frame and hang in their office. Well,
we'll have to go over the rest of them tomorrow, I guess.
Till the next time, which would be tomorrow, this is Ray Goulding reminding you all to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is the CBS Radio Network.